Susan, what was your drive to work as a therapist
Oh.
and to compare this with dream work? Was that passion or just a high interest about those topics?
All of those things. My own pain. At one time in my life, I think we used to joke, many of us who were in the school to become therapists, we used to joke, well, I'm really here to figure myself out.
Yeah, I think that's the journey we are all in here, and as a
We're all
therapist,
here to figure ourselves out, you know. So, well, first of all, I should pr proceed by saying that my first jobs were as a teacher of English. I was a teacher of writing, and so I often taught descriptive writing. And you know, students had various kinds of writing they were instructed to write themes about. So one might be write a theme about something that happened to you, a narrative dream. Another was write a descriptive dream. So students in my class, they were then like 16 years old, love working with those kids. And we're all getting ideas. Oh, I'll write about my dog. I'll describe my dog. I'll describe my girlfriend. I'll describe this. And then somebody said, let's describe a dream. And I thought, oh yeah, good idea. So I said, okay, you guys can describe anything that you want to, but I think the dream's a good idea. So I don't know how many of the class just wanted, they described a dream. And what came out of that day, because I read for students who would permit me to read their essays, I would read them. And the students could not stop talking about their dreams. They wanted to talk and talk and talk, about 28 kids in that class. And they just kept, what, I have a dream, can I talk about my dream? I have one, I want to talk about my nightmare. And they would just wanted to talk and talk and talk. And so we did for more than one day. I consider that spiritual because at such a time, they were sharing their feelings in symbolic form. So let's say they were mad at their dad. And the dream, this is not a real dream, by the way, I'm just making this up right now. But say they were mad at their dad and they had a dream of their dad in an ice cube, frozen up. And so the student would say, I want to tell my dream about my dad frozen in an ice cube, teacher. What does it mean? Of course, I'd say, I don't know. And I was not into trying to interpret dreams or help people in those days. I would just say, read your essay. Well, you see, what might have been going on in a dream like that is that the dad was chilled out to his son. And so even though that boy, that teenage boy, would not have said in class, oh, you know, my dad is chilled out to me or he's frozen as ice to me, he could tell the dream. I dreamed of my dad in an ice cube. And what he's doing is he's discharging that energy to the group. And everyone would look like, oh, that was a rough dream. That was a hard nightmare. But he's discharging the energy. Even we didn't have to interpret it. We weren't trying to interpret. We were just bearing witness to his nightmare. If that had been a dream, we would have been bearing witness to it. That's an expression again in English, chilled out, cold as ice, frozen up. You know, it may be in many languages, but that's how it can work. And they just couldn't stop talking about dreams. So when I as the older I got, I found some children didn't learn well, and I wanted to go into the social work to help children to understand children more as well as to understand myself more. And so I went into basically clinical work and worked with children for many years. So there you go. That's kind of what started me, both understanding children who weren't learning well and then understanding myself, because if I don't understand what's going on with me, how can I tell you, you know?
How am I able then to help you? I also think how deep we can meet ourselves is like a base and foundation, how deep we can meet others, and how we figured out something about ourselves, being more aware of ourselves, bringing more light into the shadows. We can help others to bring their own or light their own shadows up. But I relate to what you said about dream interpretation. As you said, I'm not here to interpretate or give you the solution. I'm here to help you find your solution or find the way you can interpret this. It's also like, I'm not here to heal you as a therapist, but I can help you to maybe heal yourself more and more.
Yep.
And I like this topic also about healing. And what would you say is, what does healing mean for you?
Oh, it means being in balance.
Being in balance.
Being in balance, that my my body and mind are in connection. Mm-hmm. That I'm not just in balance in my own self, but in balance with other people and the planet itself.
Mm-hmm.
In the planet itself, something is very out of balance now in our globe, I think, and I don't understand it. But being in balance, and when I'm in balance, I'm beyond suffering. When I'm in touch with my body and mind, and when I would say also that they are in touch with truths that work, meaning that my body and mind, meaning my mind is the engine, and my body as that which carries out the intense mind, when they're in touch with things that are beyond that which creates suffering for the planet or for others, then that to me is balance and happiness.
Mm. Happiness. Yeah, I think this is also, for me, it's a result that comes from balance.
Yes.
Happiness. And as you know, I do the work with Reiki, so I look on healing and illness and to be healthy on like an energetical level, which means I try to think in the terms of frequencies and vibrations.
Yes.
And I figured for myself out, I feel good, I feel happy when I'm for sure in balance. And I would say balance could be my original state. Could
nice
be.
Thought.
Then I just have to find out, okay, what was the reason that I'm not in balance anymore? And when I think in the terms of energy, and vibration, so maybe I have, because when I'm in imbalance, then, and I'm not in balance anymore, there must be too much energy or a lack of energy. And
And where does that come from?
Yeah, where does this come from? And I was like, I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, when is there, for instance, too much energy? And I was like, okay, just reflecting on my life, and I was like, for instance, when I was jealous or angry, those emotions, which literally means energy in motion, there's energy in my body now in form of anger, it's bringing such a lot of energy on. And when I hold it back, for instance, it's kind of gets stuck in my body.
Sure. Wilhelm Reich believed that. He was one of the original body therapists, and he'd say, yeah, your body, well, we know that, we'll store that. Mm-hmm. And you get a symptom, which is people will say, oh, I have a pain. And I'll say, oh, wonderful, it's your friend. So it's telling you something. And that's where you go, is to try to, you know, try to deal with body energies. Mm-hmm. I had that experience once where I had, well, actually, he was a Japanese massage therapist, but mm-hmm. I actually began to cry at some point because he must have been changing my energy frequency in certain places on my body, because my body was stored with a lot of negativity at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had symptoms.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. My dad had, for instance, those stones at his kidney.
Kidney stones.
Kidney stones. And I was thinking about that. Because like energy, when it flows, it's not like materialized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when it's for instance, my body is it is materialized, as you can see, as I can
yes.
feel it.
I can see.
And when I get back to those like universal laws that are like written down by, they came from Hermes Trismegistus thought, and there are different like books. They say there are 7 universal laws, and one of that is called everything is vibration. One of that is called everything is energy. And when everything is energy and vibration, so my body is just here in this material form because it vibes in a vibration, like kind of slow, that I can see it. But there are also other vibrations which I'm not able to see.
Mm-hmm.
Also with light, for instance, I can see different colors of light, because they are in a certain vibration, a certain wavelength. But other wavelengths, like this ultraviolet light, I cannot see. But it is still there. And so I was thinking about that with this kidney, with those kidney stones. And I was like, how can they materialize? So maybe this energy needs to like slow down until it has this vibration that it comes into a materialized form. And then I thought about the emotion, maybe of anger, which is when it gets stuck, this flow cuts off. Like an emotion, maybe because energy in motion, it wants to be in motion, it wants to flow. But when I hold it back, it gets stuck. And when it gets stuck for a long time, maybe it has the potential to materialize.
Yes, to manifest as a symptom.
And to manifest as a symptom. And so that was like a moment I had like, aha, maybe that could be, if it works like from the perspective of those terms of energy and frequency.
Well, yeah, I think that's very insightful, because that's why when somebody says, oh, I have a terrible stomach ache, I said, oh, wonderful. Now we'll find out what's going on, you know, what's wrong here, because it had to go that far to manifest in a symptom. And then one hopes that someone with a severe symptom that keeps recurring pays attention to it, you know, because some people will say, oh, it'll go away, it's nothing. And, you know, recurring symptom means it's advanced, you know, into manifesting in the physicality.
Mm.
So I think even your dreams could make you aware of something sometimes, you know, pay attention to them.
Yeah. Maybe let's come to this paper dream more, stress less.
Yes.
Because in those times, we started with talking about this crisis, and this crisis can bring up a lot of fear, anxiety, panic,
yes,
and stress. And
yes,
I believe stress has, when we are a lot of time in this emotion of stress, it has a negative effect on our immune system, because it has the potential to decrease it a lot. And when we look at your paper, which has the name Dream More, Stress Less, maybe you can talk a little bit about that, and maybe what people can like a guideline for their dreams when they go to bed tonight.
Oh, sure. Well, I think that first of all, I think maybe the title of that was a little misnamed. It should have said, recall your dreams more and stress less. Or mm-hmm. think of it, you can create a new dream and stress less. So, you know, there are different ways to help yourself, I think. When you go to sleep at night, you can do what the child did. If you've been having nightmares, suggest to yourself before you go to sleep, I want to dream up a better ending. Or, you know, like I did with the blouse, I want to find my blouse. Or if you want to think about what can I do during the day that's different, because I'm quarantined, at least we can walk outside here, we can go for walks, but I'm quarantined, what can I do to make use of my time, you know? So I think that's one thing, but into our dreams can come some solutions, some pictures of our feelings of what's going on. If it's a picture of something, maybe we want to draw, some music we want to write, something we want to author, something, a new idea for you for a workshop, you know, suggest to yourself, what can I do to cope through these difficult times? And of course, you know that there are many things, as I know, that are very useful. And one of the things is to, as usual, breathe properly, get exercise, eat right. But your dreams can help you. You can say, help me cope here. I know some coping mechanisms, but I can't get them during the daytime. Help me. You know, I think sometimes asking your subconscious for help is something like prayer. It's focused. Help me. I need help for myself. And then we can say, I need help from those around me, the collective unconscious. What around me comes in, can come in to help me? You know, Edgar Cayce. Have you ever heard of Edgar Cayce? I referenced
yes,
him often.
Yes, the Americans, the night dreamer.
Amazing. Amazing, mm-hmm. because records were kept on his healing. People came to him for physical healing, for psychological healing. And he would go into a trance and he would suggest things for their physical or psychological healing. And what's amazing about that is that they kept track of what worked. And he evidently dipped into some huge knowledge base of the collective unconscious that he came up with very holistic remedies. And there is now a whole, in America, in Virginia Beach, a whole institute devoted to him. He died in the 1940s, but his methods were wonderful. And I think it's possible, like Mozart, or, you know, it came through him, or like anyone. I had a dream of a poem that came, I swear it came through me once. I think things can come through. I need help. Help me in my dreams. And by the way, if somebody has an absolutely horrible dream, one wants to remember that dreams are hyperbole. They often come in very strong forms because we're repressing them during the day. So it's like my little girl client, my six-year-old, has this horrible dream of a big bird stabbing her in the back and bringing blood. That doesn't mean that's going to happen literally to someone, that some big bird's going to stab you. It means that I'm in pain, I feel backstabbed. And sometimes a dream may come as a nightmare, but it's still your friend. You just have to figure it out. And on that topic, if you want to try to figure out for yourself, you can say, what's the theme of the dream? Is my father frozen in an ice cube? Oh, a frozen up father. Or a big bird stabbing me in the back. Or, oh, there's a hole in that spear, that needle. And that needle, that spear is moving up and down. Oh, it could be a sewing machine needle. Yes. And ask yourself it what you can do to change the dream in the dream state. And what steps you can take in your waking life to change a problem if you find out the theme applies to your waking life. This is funny. I know we're getting ready to end, but I have a recurring dream my whole life that really? I'm going somewhere to give a talk or go to a class, and I haven't got anything. I'm not prepared, and I can't find my way all the time. I can't find the door. I can't find the right classroom or for the talks. I can't find all my papers. So the dream is I'm not fully prepared, and I've had it my whole life. So that it doesn't come all the time. It didn't come last night, I'm glad to say. But it means consider that what can you do to make that better? And consider your deservingness to feel better, whatever the problem is, that you deserve to feel better. You deserve to find a solution. If it's solution to find a blouse, to make a sewing machine needle, to create a concert, you know, to be better prepared in real life for a class or whatever. And then think of the first step that you can take. And finally, talk it over with a good friend. If you haven't got a therapist, with a good friend.
That's so true. Wow. I will bring the story up because it really happened to me. I had this one dream, which I can remember so much in detail. It was after a breakup, and I think I told you about this dream, and I saw myself dying in this dream. And I really, there was a woman in front of me, and we have been sitting on a table, and she was in front of me. Between us there was this table, and I felt like I get something like a cord around my throat, and somebody is now pulling this cord, and I was unable to breathe anymore, and I felt like, okay, now I'm dying. And I just saw this woman in front of me standing up and wanted to go around the table and rescue me. But in that moment, I was like, saw myself now laying in my bed. And while seeing myself, I could literally feel my body, and that I was really unable to breathe. And then I felt like a huge light, like really a light, was entering my body, and that felt for 1 second so painful, so painful. And then I started to see also this light, and then I felt like it felt like grace, and it felt like blessings. Mm-hmm. It really felt like a great, great love, like unconditional love.
Beautiful.
That state, I stayed in that state for a few moments. And I was still unable to breathe, but I felt my body, my physical body, more and more. And then I also started observing myself, like breathing and breathing. And my awareness shifted once again, and I was back, like realizing that I'm here in my bed. But I felt it really on the physical level. And after that, I started to speak with a good friend about it. So his name is Sasha, one of my very good friends. And he was just like saying, wow, like, that's interesting. And just like, aha, and tell me more about it. And I was just talking about it. And then I understood everything. Like, for me, it was at this time, like, a part of myself died. And like, there's a cycle that was ending, but there's with ending that cycle, a rebirth happened. So that was my interpretation. And with that interpretation, I was like, ah, wow, so much. Yes. And it was with that new understanding, I was like, able to make the steps into this new cycle. And it helped me really, the stream helped me really to also end this last cycle. And literally it helped me a lot to stress less in this case.
Yes, yes, it's a beautiful dream. It's a very powerful dream. Yeah, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like a part of my ego was dying there, which was holding on something. And with this breakup, like, this where I hold on was like gone, and then my ego died. And I just saw myself, like, or this part of myself dying there.
You let go of that. Yeah. Sometimes we attach, you know, too tightly. There's a difference between connection and attachment.
For sure. And
sometimes we have to let go of a connection and not attach fiercely, which can create harm. And you let go. And new light came in. It's a beautiful dream, Marianne. Beautiful dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sharing it with your friend is also beautiful if you're comfortable doing that. I just kind of want to conclude with, there are Indians on the Malayan Peninsula called the Sonoy Indians. And one of the things they did routinely, because they believed in the power of the dream, is they shared dreams every morning with each other. And guess what? They had very low incidence of crime or mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it was routinely done, like eating your cereal or drinking your orange juice. They did it in group every morning because they believed in the power of the dream. So there. So when you share with a friend, they don't have to say, oh, here's what it means. They don't have to do that. You're just putting that energy out there. Cheers was a beautiful dream.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, I also had this picture in my head, like in dreams, sometimes it's like the subconscious mind, when it is full, like a full box, and when it is full, the top opens up and some of that stuff comes out and shows up in a dream. I don't know if this is like true, but I was thinking about that. And when some of the subconscious mind shows up in the dreams and then I start talking about it, I make it conscious. I bring it into my awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I bring light on it.
You may bring light on it. Others actually can help you bring light on it. But, you know, I don't believe in saying what somebody else's dream means, but somebody might say, oh, that reminds me of a dream I had, and here's what my dream meant. And, or have you thought that, somebody could say, well, have you thought about this? You know, or, your father's in an ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that he feels pretty iced out, you know, how's your relationship with your dad? You know, you have to be careful with somebody, but, you know, mostly, you know, it's just so helpful just to listen So
yeah, just yeah. To listen.
We should probably wish our audience sweet dreams, unless you have any more questions right now. We could go on.
We are at the end with our questions, and we're also on time. I planned for an hour, and we are here at 1:07. And maybe the last thing I would like to ask you is, what are maybe the three most powerful teachings you learned or lessons you've learned in your life so far, which you can share with us?
Okay, everything is connected. And I said it before, but connection does not mean attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you mentioned this term later, the laws of the planet and the laws of loving. There are laws that work that don't create suffering. So know those laws. And know yourself.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you
so, Marianne. So much.
Always a pleasure, my dear. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Where's your podcast going? In Germany? Where else?
You can find it on Spotify. I will
send me a
link and so on, and then you can listen to it. I think it will go like online in a week or something like that, and then I will send you a mail where you can find it, and then you can re-listen to it.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay. All right,
blessings,
Susan.
To you, my dear. Be well.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you for everything. And I really can't wait to... Well, I'm not sure if this happens in our lifetime, once again, that we see each other in physical connection. I really don't know. I hope so, but I really don't know.
I see it.
Yes, okay. I can feel it. I can feel it. But I learned that there's also connection without physical like appearance, and as you said, I'm learning a lot about connection, and I learned in the last year so much about connection. That is, connection can deepen without physical appearance. That connection can deepen with letting go, because getting rid of attachments, and with that, there's potential that a true or like a deeper connection can happen on a heart-to-heart level, because love is not attachment. Love is like, I'm here, and I support you in each way, and I that way for the highest and best interests for oneself, and that is not always holding on to something in that form as it exists currently, because there's always change coming.
Yes,
like there's a new wind blowing and bringing up something else, and there's a beautiful Dichter, it's like a poet who writes poems in German, called Hermann Hesse.
Yes,
Hermann Hesse. And, he has written, it's called in German Stufen, which means just stairs. And there is this Weltgeist, which means the world spirit or the great spirit, which just brings you with every change to a new stair. And it never wants to bring you down or let you fall. with every change that's coming, it wants to make you wide and lift you up on the next stair.
Well, let's hope that this difficult time is a time of potential and change. So many blessings to you, my dear. And
thank you, Susan.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Das war dein Podcast No Bullshit mit Marian Bano. Und du kannst mich finden im Internet unter www.marianbano.com oder bei Instagram unter marian.bano. Vielen, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis bald.